scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, in left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yale, a shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right, let's get it going. Welcome to day one of the Flames Talk offseason. Welcome to this hour of Flames Talk on a Monday. It is April 21st from our Groundworks downtown studio. Yes, the offseason is now officially underway. Flames have played 82 of 82. They've done their locker cleanout day, and now it's all about the offseason as the Stanley Cup playoffs started over the weekend as well. Welcome, welcome. It's Steinberg along with you. Wes Gilbertson of Post Media is with us this week as well. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The text line's open at 960-960 if you're listening live. Hello, Wes. Welcome to the offseason, my friend.
Hello, buddy.
How are we doing?
Not too bad. How about you today?
Doing all right. It is kind of that stark realization. It's like, oh, okay, the off season is here. We were all down at locker cleanout on Saturday morning, and lots of topics to talk about over the next number of months as we go into the off season. Locker cleanout's done. Lots of conversation points, lots of topics coming from Saturday at the Scotiabank Saddledome. If you missed anything from Locker Cleanout Day, literally every single thing is available for you on the Flames Talk podcast feed. Every player availability, the availabilities with General Manager Craig Conroy and Head Coach Ryan Huska, then our sit-down interviews with Craig Conroy and Ryan Huska, all available for you on the Flames Talk podcast feed.
Did you want to address the startling allegations about whether you missed anything?
Because I did not miss a thing.
There were some arrows being thrown around.
There were some strays being caught. But then the general manager did come and see that. I see Pat went home. I'm like, what? I'm right here. What are you doing? I'm glad. I don't know who it was, but somebody came to my aid. Somebody said, I'm still here. So is that you?
No, it wasn't me.
I didn't think
so. No, it wouldn't have been.
I would have been surprised if it was you. Hey, I think the thing that, other than the strays that I caught, I think the thing that that people were talking most about coming out of Saturday was Rasmus Anderson. Is that fair? I mean, I think he was the number one thing that we were wondering about and interested in coming into Saturday. And then with what we heard from Rasmus, I think it was the biggest talking point coming out. I mean, he told us that we knew he was playing through something, but then when I found out on Saturday morning that it was a broken ankle, and then he got a little bit more specific with it, and a broken fibula that he was playing with through the last 12 games of the season when he blocked that shot and that comeback win over Seattle, you're like, oh, I knew he was playing through something. I didn't know he was playing through something that significant. Dude was going out there and playing through a broken bone and was still able to get into every game until game 82 when there was really no point. So we found that out, and then some other things as well.
And not playing 11 minutes a night.
No, playing his same role of 20-plus minutes every single night.
I went and specifically looked. He played 23-plus minutes a night on a broken ankle. I think blocked 30-some shots.
That's pretty metal, as the kids say.
I'm so old now, I didn't even know the kids were saying that.
They may not say that anymore, but there was a time when they did say that. Did they say that at one point?
Like 20 years
No, it wasn't 20 years ago, Shan. You weren't alive 20 years ago. Get out of here. Might as well hear from him. So we found out about the injury, and then we were just waiting for the future questions to pop up, and hey, we know he's entering the final year of a contract. We know that he does not have a contract beyond next season. We know there's a lot of talk about whether or not the Flames should extend him or trade him at some point between now and next year's trade deadline. This is going to be the biggest talking point of the summer, is it not? I mean, until there is a resolution on what's going to happen with Rasmus Anderson, this is kind of the Jacob Markstrom of last summer.
I was just going to say, we laughed. And sometimes probably cried last year on Flames Talk about how often we were circling back to discuss Jacob Markstrom, because it really was the number one storyline of the offseason at the Saddle Dome. Well, new year, new Swede.
Yeah.
Rasmus Anderson. And listen, this one, I would say this one's even a little different from the Jacob Markstrom discussion for me, because although I think for many, what we are going to hear here and what we heard Saturday, you know, had a sense of finality to it. I think this thing could still go a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I didn't get the sense that what we're about to hear was an indication of what way this was going to go. I got the sense that Rasmus Anderson is smart, knows what's up, understands that he very well might have played his final game as a member of the Flames, but honestly just doesn't know what's going to happen.
And really understands both sides of it. You know, the sort of awareness to bring up the number of right shot defensemen in the system. Like, Rasmus Anderson's a pretty smart cookie. And I think one of the things that Rasmus Anderson sort of likes his persona to be, and Rasmus Anderson can shoot off the cuff a little bit, but Rasmus Anderson wants you to think he's always shooting from the hip.
Yeah.
Rasmus Anderson had thought about what he was going to say Saturday for a very long time. That was my biggest takeaway.
Agreed. Let's hear it. This is 6.5 minutes straight of what was about a 13-plus minute availability with Rasmus Anderson. It starts with the first question, what's the future look like? There's one follow-up question in there, and there's nothing edited in between. Here is Rasmus Anderson from Saturday. What does his future look like from Raz's mouth?
You've been so busy with the end, right? And it seems like the boring answer, but you've been so busy with pushing for playoffs and checking the scores in every other game. And so it's one of those things I feel like I really... because I'm going to go play Worlds. And so it's one of those things where after Worlds, I got to just sit down with my family and, you know, my parents, my wife, my kids, even though my kids doesn't understand it. But I had to sit down with my wife and we just got to talk through everything. And, you know, I've always loved playing here, and I know you guys... it's the same cliche as always, but I mean, I've been here 10 years now and I've loved every second of it. And it's easy when you, you know, when you're not playing your best to get down on yourself, but at the end of the day, you're an NHL and this is the thing you dream about when you're a kid. And so it's just one of those things. I grew up in Calgary. I've been here my whole life. It's the first big decision of my career, it feels like, because I signed in, I think it was in January, and then COVID hit, but I signed a 6-year deal back then, and that was like a no-brainer for me to sign that contract. And so it feels like this is the first time in my career where I have like a big decision ahead of me. And so I just got to sit down with my family and talk it through. And you know, Connie and those guys got to do the same thing. You know, I just talked to him, and you know, there was a lot of good chatters in that room, but you know, there's a lot of good young players in the organization, and you know, there's only a certain amount of right shot defensemen you can have on a team. And so I think from both sides, it's big decisions ahead. And you know, I think both sides just needs to sit down and see what's going to happen, and then we'll take it from there. But, you know, I can't stress it enough. I've loved every second here, and whatever happens, happens. And, you know, I understand that it's a business side of it, and it's got to make sense for both sides. And they have a number in mind. I have a number in mind. And, you know, I don't even know what the number is, because I haven't even thought about it for a second, honestly, within the last 3 months. But I just, you know, I've loved every second of it. And I, you know, I think we have a really, really, really good fan base. And, you know, we talked about the 90% the other day. And I feel like I got to address it because it's, I feel like 90% is a really, really high number in a fan base to have good fans. And, you know, for us as a player, when you think about the 90%, I mean, the 10% we're talking about is like the fans. There's like, oh, team tank, we got to lose. So we got to lose. We got to lose. Like, no, like, no player in the NHL ever wants to lose a game. I can guarantee you that. And especially here, like, losing is never an option, and that's what I love about this team too. It's we want to win every game, and if you're cheering for us to lose, I'm sorry, I don't think you're a real fan, honestly.
I imagine it was a grueling playoff style run for Erasmus. Was there ever a part of you that maybe thought this might be my last time? Like, do you ever think about this might be my last home game at the Dome? Like, does your head ever go to those places?
I mean, I think in the third period last game, especially when we knew we were out, you know, you kind of looked around and, you know, this is all I know, right, in the NHL. And I love playing at the Dome. You know, people say it's old and whatever, but I love it. And, you know, thanks to Weeksy, we get a new rink. But, you know, I loved every second of it. And it's, as I said, I grew up here. I played my whole life here. And I love putting on that red jersey every time I come in here. And that's never going to change. And that's where I feel like it's, you know, I want to be as honest as possible with you guys because I don't like the bullshit and like the other stuff. And I don't know what's going to happen, honestly. I just don't. And you've been so focused on the end of the season and just you wanted to get to the playoffs so bad because everybody counted us out all year. So you've been so focused, so determined to go to the postseason and play your best, and then personally you get injured, but you're like, fuck, let's just battle through it. And it's so, I mean, I want to be honest with you guys, and you guys know me. You know, some of you guys I've known for a long time, and I want to be honest, but I don't know what's going to happen, honestly. And I, you know, as I said, I have to sit down with my family, Connie, you know, and all those guys upstairs. They got to sit down and talk what's best for the team. And I wish I could say, hey, yeah, I'm signing July 1st, but I can't at the moment. And, you know, or I'm getting traded July 1st. I just don't know, right? But I hope the fans knows that I loved every second of it, and I've never taken it for granted. And I hope I'm here for many years to come. But this is where, you know, it's a big decision for me, for the Flames, and it's the first time in my career I'm in this spot. And yeah, I just want to, you know, be honest with the fans and you guys, and that's really, if you guys have any other questions, love to hear it, but I don't think I can say any more about summer situation.
That is Rasmus Anderson. The entire availability is available on the Flames Talk podcast feed right now. So here's my read on what we heard. Wes, that sounded like a guy who I got the sense that was a guy who was 100% unsure as to what was going to happen next. Like that sounded like a guy who knew he might have played his final game at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Knew he might have played his final game as a member of the Calgary Flames. There definitely was a little bit of that in what I heard, but that's as far as I'd go. Like, I'm not suggesting that I certainly didn't feel this way. That didn't come up to me or didn't feel like a guy that had made up his mind or that knew it. Like Jacob Markstrom, that felt like a guy who knew he was not going to be back. That felt like a guy who knew he was going to be elsewhere next year.
And did not want to be.
Did not want to be
back. Jacob Markstrom.
Yeah, yeah. That felt like a guy. At no point did he say he wanted to be back. Or,
no.
You know, I thought that Raz gave a really, really good answer. And it was a really strong availability. And essentially said, yeah, I've loved it here. I don't know if I'll be back, but I've loved it here. I'd like to be back, but it may not be in the cards. He understands it's a business. He understands that the Flames may want to go younger, may want to open up room for Zane Parekh and other young right shot defensemen. It felt like, and I'm curious as to where you are, that felt like a guy who did not know what was coming up next.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think the important thing, maybe not the important thing, but some necessary context on Rasmus Anderson is, for reporters like you and I, he's a bit of an open book, right? You sit down with Rasmus Anderson and every once in a while you'll get the, oh, you want to talk about that today? Oh, you want, but Rasmus Anderson will always sit and kind of talk about whatever you want. And he realized without a doubt what questions were coming on Saturday. I just think there was a lot of honesty there when he repeated a few times, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what's going to happen. We talked about the word awareness in the sense of Rasmus Anderson is aware of the fact that this blue line has some really promising prospects on it. You know, we've talked a ton about Zane Parekh, but a fellow right-hander in Hunter Brustevich, I think, showed very well in game 82. Rasmus Anderson is aware of those guys and what sort of blade or what curve of blade they have on their stick. He's aware of the fact that it might not be Craig Conroy's first choice to offer a long-term extension to a guy at his age. And I got to tell you, the other thing I saw from Anderson was that the toll of this season, there was an effect there, right? He talked about munching minuses every night. He knew his stats.
Chewing on minuses.
Yeah, he knew his stats weren't where he wanted them to be. He knows that there's a segment of fans who want him out of town, right? He's a guy who's aware of what's being said publicly about him. And you can tell it's taken a bit of a toll to shift from fan favorite to, you know, a guy that some people want to drive to the airport with a one-way ticket. And I just thought the sort of magnitude and totality of all those things led to a guy who had a lot to say Saturday and yet wasn't really sure of what to say at the same time. I thought it was really honest. I thought it was really insightful. I thought it was really raw. But I didn't necessarily think that it hinted as strongly one direction or another as some people have. And I'm not saying anyone else is wrong about that. I just, as I have re-listened to it and again just listened to it here, I genuinely believe Rasmus Anderson when he says he quite frankly has no idea which direction this is going to go.
Yep. That's kind of where I'm at. Like I got the sense that, and because he honestly and I think genuinely doesn't know where this is going to go, he understands that it might be done for him in Calgary. He understands that it might be somewhere else that he's playing to begin next year or some point next year. I think because you don't know, and because I really genuinely felt like he was like, I don't know. I'm going to go to the World Championship, and then I'm going to really start to dig in and figure this out. Yeah, you get the sense that there's also, because you don't know, there's an understanding that the only NHL organization you've ever known may not be the place that you are in the very near future.
I, as we were all finishing up some of our writing, I was just chatting with Eric Francis Saturday at the Dome about our impressions. As I'm sure many have read, Eric's impression was that it sounded a lot like a goodbye. He did a really good job of outlining maybe his reasons for getting to that, not conclusion, but why Saturday had that feel to him. You know, one of the things I said to Eric, and I'll repeat it here, is I think you could have chopped up that Rasmus Anderson availability, and it spanned about 13 minutes. And Pat, I could have played you about three clips and asked you, okay, well, what's your gut? And based on those three clips, you would have said, geez, it sounds like he'll be back for sure. And I could have picked three other clips and played them for you, and you could have listened to them and said, well, goodbye, Raz, right? He's gone. And I just thought that was the sort of meandering, and I don't mean that in an insulting way, that Rasmus Anderson's dialogue took that day, is that he, you know, he was sort of talking through a lot of the different factors as he went. And I'll be really curious to see where it goes. But I think the one thing it's set up for me is I don't expect a resolution on July 1st. I just think it's going to take longer than that to come up with whatever solution they get to.
So then where are the Flames on this whole thing? There's Rasmus Anderson and where he's at. I don't think the Flames know what's going to happen next either. I think they have an idea as to where the Rasmus camp is in terms of their ask.
Yeah. Can I say one thing before you play the Conroy clip?
Yeah.
Because I hear this all the time after whatever becomes the exit day storyline. I think there's often a disbelief among fans or the general public of guys saying, you know, we haven't talked about it or we haven't thought too much about it. And I think everyone goes, come on, everyone's talking about Rasmus Anderson's future. You mean to tell me that Rasmus Anderson hasn't discussed it with anyone, or that the Flames hockey ops? I can tell you from the length of time I've been doing this, and I hope, Pat, you feel the exact same way. It's legit when you get to the end of a season and a lot of the big term stuff has not been broached. And I think that makes it a real high likelihood that the Flames are going to be, as a hockey ops department, sort of delving into this debate for the first time on a deeper level over the next few weeks.
Yeah, like I definitely know that Craig Conroy has had conversations with Claude Lemieux throughout the year. And,
sure.
And I think there's an understanding. I think Craig Conroy has an idea where he'd like to be. I think that he's got a general idea of where the Anderson camp might be when they get into the nitty gritty of this. Like my feel is that the Flames are maybe a little bit closer to the Neil Pionk deal that got signed in Winnipeg. That feels like maybe a little bit more where the Flames would be in terms of their starting point. That was a 6-year deal at $7 million. My belief is the Rasmus camp is looking for longer and more, as you'd expect.
Probably closer to the Jacob Chychrun deal.
Yeah, probably right around, which was 8 years at whatever times 9. Is that what it was when it was all said and done?
Yeah, I have to double check that, and I will right now.
But I do think there's going to be a gap that needs to be bridged between the Flames and Anderson if they're going to get to a contract. I don't know. Was it 8 times 9?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if an 8-year deal is something that we're going to see if the Flames end up signing a deal with Rasmus. It feels like an 8-year deal, which would have him playing from 30 to 38. I don't know if that's in the best interest of where the Flames are going. So I think that we're talking about, from everything I've been able to ascertain, I do think there is a bridge that needs to be built here. I think they need to find some sort of middle ground, and I think that if they were to sit down, which they can't, by the way, they can't actually start negotiating until July 1st, but if they were to sit down at a table right now, I think that there would be a decent gap between where the two sides are, but that's not any different than most contract negotiations. The question is, how quickly can they start to move towards a middle ground? And then do the Flames just decide that, you know what, maybe we're not going to be able to get to the middle ground, or maybe we're not going to be able to get to anywhere close to what we're comfortable with. Maybe let's start to move in the trade direction. That's kind of what I think this is going to end up looking like. I don't know if it's going to get to the trade side of things, but I think that's kind of where the two sides are right now. I think 6 years, $7 million for a guy who is 29 years old, guy who is coming off a rough season, which I thought was really interesting that Raz even admitted that, like, I'm coming off a rough season. Is this even the right time for me to sign a contract extension? I think that was a really interesting revelation into where his brain's at. But I think that, you know, from a Flame standpoint, that would make a whole lot more sense. 6 years, a raise, but not into the highest echelon or higher echelon defenseman. That would make a ton of sense. Would that be something the Anderson camp is interested in? I don't know. This was Craig Conroy when he sat down with Logo and I in the Hot Stove Lounge on Saturday. The general manager kind of gave his thoughts as to where things are right now.
From our side, what's a contract look like? What do we feel comfortable with? What is makes sense to us? How do we make this work moving forward? And then from his side, what does he want to do? Does he want to be here, which he says he did, and he told me he wants to be here. But again, there's a lot of moving parts in that.
Right.
And we both have to kind of agree on, yep, this is what it looks like, and this makes sense for both of us, and then we move forward. Again, we didn't talk about anything today, to be totally honest. It's kind of the one thing about Rasmus, what he says to me in private is what he says in the media. So, you know, he says, hey, I want to go to the World Championships. I want to talk to my family. I want to take a deep breath and think about this. And we have to respect that. And we really can't talk to him till July 1st anyway.
Right.
So, you know, but we'll get all our ducks in a row and comps and see where we're at, length of contracts. And then, you know, when we sit down and talk, see if it works for both sides. But Ras, understand, it's a business, you know. Same thing for me. I always knew, you know, we'd love to – everybody has an idea what they're worth and how long they want, and then the team has a different opinion usually. So we'll have to see if it works out for both sides.
What did you learn from 2 years ago, that first summer that you were on the job with all of those expiring contracts? What can you take from that? I guess that ended up being like 6 or 7 months until they were all figured out. But what did you learn from dealing with Hanifin and Zadorov and Lindholm and all of that that you can take into this process with Rasmus?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just be patient, just to be patient and really have that dialogue and really make sure lay all our cards on the table on both sides, know what they want. And then, you know, then you have to make some hard decisions. And then from there, if it's a sign, you sign. If not, then we got to get the best deal we can for Ras out there. But I guess the goal would be to get him signed and get him back here and get him on a deal that everybody's happy with. But, you know, it didn't work with those guys. And
yep.
I don't know how it's going to work with Ras, because we, you know, he made it very clear. He just wants to go and do what he's doing, and then we'll figure it out a little bit later. So, you know, there's no rush right now. We have him for another year. You know, I know at times he had a great start. He wasn't happy with a lot of his year, and even he said as much in the meeting. You know, he's got more to give, but I give him credit, like with what he played with down the stretch in those meaningful games, and he did. You know, he was a big reason why we were right there at the end.
That was Craig Conroy and his sit down with us on Saturday. It's available for you on the Flames Talk podcast feed as well. What's your gut on how this all plays out? This will not be the last time we talk about Rasmus Anderson, but what's your gut on how this all plays out, Wes?
You know, as the season has worn on, and so let me sort of start by just saying, early in the season, I said on this program and in different forms many times, I really thought the Flames needed to keep Rasmus Anderson. And as the season has worn on, I've probably gained more of an appreciation for the concerns about how that contract will age. And the reason I say that is that Rasmus Anderson struggled for a stretch of the season. He's never been the fastest skater. He plays the sort of hard-nosed style that a guy who's willing to, you know, play 12 games on a broken ankle. Like the things that you love about him are also going to give you pause if he wants to sign for 7 or 8 years. And with what we heard from Anderson and with what the future could look like in terms of the young players and the cap, you're going to allot to them and who you have on the right side. I just wonder if there's middle ground there. And, you know, I say that as a huge fan of Rasmus Anderson as both the player and the person, but as the season has worn on, I've wondered if there is a long-term fit here for both sides.
Yeah, my gut says that at some point in the next, I don't know, 10 months, we see Rasmus in another jersey. I say that because Raz should be looking for
a big deal. He should be looking for a long-term deal. He should be looking for a contract that kind of sets him up. And this is the first time he's ever been an unrestricted free agent. He should be trying to get his bag, right? I just don't think the Flames and where they're going is the fit, the best fit for him to do that. And I don't think Rasmus would or should be critical of the Flames for not being in that position. As he said, he knows it's a business. He knows where this thing is going. No hard feelings. Rasmus has accomplished a ton. He got to represent his country at the Four Nations. He's going to go represent his country again at the World Championship. He's a very decent bet to be on the Olympic squad for Sweden and fight for a gold medal in February. This guy's turned himself into one of the better defensemen in the NHL despite the rough year he had. So he should be looking for a big payday. But at the same time, the type of contract that he and his camp should be looking for is probably not the type of deal that makes the most sense for the Calgary Flames right now. And so, yeah, I mean, again, if you can get it to a six-year deal, if you can get the Neil Pionk deal or something close to it, if you're the Flames all day, every day, that's outstanding. I just don't know if that's the type of deal that's going to satisfy the Anderson camp, and that's fine. Nothing critical in their direction if that's the case, because he's earned the right to go out and look for a massive deal, much like his buddy Elias Lindholm did and other guys have.
He's done everything you could have asked here. And by that, I just mean, you know, he played the last six seasons on what turned out to be a sweetheart deal. He does not owe you a hometown discount. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And so at the age of 29, as he hits his last, I shouldn't say his last, his next contract, turns 30 weeks into that season. This is his home run deal. This is the deal that will make him the most handsomely paid he'll be in his NHL career. And absolutely, he deserves to swing for the fences on that one.
A few texts. This says, with reports San Jose will shop their first, assuming they get the balls in their favor, would you trade both the Flames first and Rasmus for the first overall pick plus a roster D-man? I don't know if the Sharks would do that. I don't think that's the type of deal that would get you the first overall pick, but I don't know. From a Flame standpoint,
It sounds like a deal that you'd need about the fifth overall pick to move up to one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Not the 18th.
This says Raz at 7x7 would be a win-win. That comes from Mark. And this says, if they need well-paid offensive veterans, why can't they have a well-paid defensive veteran? Well, they do. They already have one in Mackenzie Weegar. And that's not to say that they can't have two. All I'm saying is that with the way things are going and the direction the Flames are going in, maybe the eight-year deal for a guy like Raz who turns 30 weeks into that deal starting may not be the best way to go.
Well, and I would just say that the fact you have some of those long-term deals signed already makes you, it really makes you weigh the pros and cons of doing another one.
Yeah.
Right. You're paying Jonathan Huberdeau into his late 30s. You're paying Nazem Kadri into his late 30s. You're paying Mackenzie Weegar into his late 30s. Are you going to turn on the TV set in the next 2 months and see a team going on a long run with a bunch of guys being paid into their late 30s? Maybe you are, but as an organization tries to map out their salary cap for 4, 5, 6 years down the road, it's not whether those guys are forwards or defense that comes into play. It's more how many of them you already have.
Brett's mad at us. Here we go again. This radio station still trying to move Rasmus out of town. Brutal. No, we're not. I just wouldn't sign him to an 8x9 is all I'm saying. Again, if they could do something closer to the Neil Pionk 6x7, I'd be all over that if I'm the Flames. So that is not the case, Brett. Both Wes and I are huge fans of Rasmus as a player and as an ambassador, a leader on this team. You're just off on that, Brett. That's not what we're talking. Just, it has to make sense. And so something more along a six-year range makes a whole lot more sense for him is all we're saying.
And from a
team standpoint.
I think the sort of important part for Brett and others is what we're really debating is whether what makes sense for the Flames and what makes sense for Rasmus Anderson's camp can overlap.
Yeah.
This isn't us saying, well, the Flames have some young guys coming up and they have some, you know, salary that they're going to need to allocate. So Rasmus Anderson should just play for the next 5 years for $3 million because he owes that to the Flames. And this isn't us saying that the Flames aren't a better team with Rasmus Anderson. I wrote that exact thing a couple days ago. Even at minus 38, you'd be crazy to try and convince me that they're a better team without him. What you and I are saying is that we're not sure the two circles, what the Anderson camp wants, what the Flames want, are ultimately going to overlap.
Just a quick note on Zane Parekh. We're going to talk more about Zane on Tuesday's program, but did want to point out, and it's an interesting tie-in because he is that right shot guy that so many people believe is going to be the next number one right side defenseman for the Flames. He's going to the World Championship with Team Canada, which is a really, really cool thing. So here's kind of the way I understand the situation. Team Canada, Hockey Canada, has invited Zane Parekh to the World Championship. The plan for now is for him to play pre-tournament games and that's all. That's kind of where it is right now. That's the plan, but who knows what happens from there? Injuries, and maybe he's really good. So that's not written in stone, but kind of the plan right now, the way I understand it, is for Zane Parekh to play the exhibition games, the pre-tournament games. Hockey Canada is looking at this as a really good opportunity to get him with the senior men's group and see what it's all about, especially because the World Junior group didn't invite him. Different groups, and that's the interesting thing, is that the senior men's team and that management side is different than the World Junior and how they go about their things. And this is part of the reason why the Flames are not sending Zane to the American League. They feel like he's played a ton of hockey, and there's no telling how long an AHL playoff run is going to be, especially with our next guest, Trent Cole, back behind the bench. Like, who knows what the Rangers can do in the playoffs with some bodies back and Cole back behind the bench. So that's part of it, but also they feel like this is too good of an opportunity for Zane to pass up, to be around the senior men's group, to be around a bunch of guys who have hundreds and hundreds of NHL games under their belt, to get into a few exhibition games. Like, they feel like this is the perfect add-on to the season for Zane Parekh that had so much good, but also some frustration in it, and ended with him making his NHL debut and impressing. They feel like this is the most valuable experience, with no disrespect to what the American League could be. They feel like going to the World Championship and being around and seeing these guys practice and work and practicing with them, getting into some exhibition games at least, can be a really, really valuable experience, and maybe even a little more valuable than going and joining the American League team.
It's going to be a terrific experience for him. You know, he talked on exit day about the relationship he started to build with Mackenzie Weegar, the way that Weegar tried to sort of take him under his wing during his time in Calgary. He's going to be around, and you and I were sort of chatting off air earlier today about, you know, some of the defensemen who could be in the mix. He's going to be around some really strong role models for a guy who hopes to be playing full time in the NHL next year. And that part for me is more important than whether he gets in the lineup for two pre-tournament games, or maybe they keep him on the roster and he plays a couple more. Whatever the big ice hockey winds up looking like, it's really secondary to me to just getting him around. That, you know, 19-year-olds have not been exposed to a lot of NHLers in any setting, and so getting him around what should be a pretty solid group, I think, can make a big difference. Dude, let me ask you one thing. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Think there's a chance Ryan Huska heads to Worlds as part of Canada's staff?
Sure. Yeah, I do. I mean, there's a chance. I don't know. I've heard rumblings that it could be part of the equation. Like, I've heard some rumblings that maybe he's in the mix. So, yeah, I mean, A, wouldn't surprise me for that reason, but B, yeah, wouldn't surprise me for the job he did this year. And he's got Hockey Canada experience. Yeah.
And if he is in the mix, just some extra FaceTime, some extra time for the head coach and Zane Parekh would also go a long way.
100%. Pat, Wes, we're underway this hour on Flames Talk. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday as the off-season Flames Talk has officially begun. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, over the weekend, we found out that Trent Culp is not done for the season. It's been a weird year with the Flames and Wranglers coaching staff. When Brad Larson had to step away from the team in December, Trent Culp stepped into an assistant role, left the American League squad as their head coach, stepped into an assistant role in the NHL. Joe Cirella moved into the job as acting head coach in the American League, and some shuffles elsewhere. Well, now the Flames season is done. They're not going to the playoffs, but the Calgary Wranglers are going to the playoffs. Trent Culp has returned to being the head coach of the Wranglers. Joe Cirella returns to being Trent's assistant coach, and the Wranglers get set to take on the Coachella Valley Firebirds in game one of a best of three series on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock faceoff in Palm Springs. We'll have it for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's a best of three first round series. Looking forward to it between Coachella Valley and the Wranglers. We say hello to Trent Culp right now on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline as the Wranglers get set to jet off to Coachella Valley for game one on Tuesday night. Trent, appreciate the time as always. Hey, what's it like being back with the Wranglers? What's it like being back with the team you started the season with?
Oh, it's good. I'm excited to be back. These are my guys. It seems like I've got an expanded group of guys this year, but these are my guys that we started with, right? And I was happy with, you know, how things were going, started the year. And, you know, I'm excited to see the group has done well and they got themselves in the playoffs. And that's, you know, that's such a huge feat, as we all know. You know, it doesn't matter who, where, what league you're in. So it's great job by these guys getting in the playoffs. Great job by the coaches, you know, picking up the slack and getting us going. And I know that we were in the same situation here last year too, right? I mean, a lot of times you lose personnel for the Flames, and that's great with where we are right now. Sorry, the Flames are. And so now it's exciting to have a chance to go back and coach the same guys and go in the playoffs.
Trent, what was the process like? Like, how did this all come to be that you go from being in that game in Los Angeles, finishing game 82 in the NHL, and then back for the playoffs with the Wranglers? Take us through the last few days.
Just, you know what? I was always had my my spidey senses were up, you know what I mean? I packed my bag on Saturday the same as the players did. You know, I was just ready for anything, and you know, it was a quick turnaround with everything that had happened, and then when we finished, you know, with in LA, and just, you know what, I got a call on Sunday morning, just, hey, we want to you know, execute the plan, so to speak. And I said, okay, great, no problem, whatever you guys think is best. And so I'm excited to, you know, it's, I got a chance to go watch, I watched the team play on Friday, and then I watched the team play on Sunday, and from there it's been kind of got back in with the coaches. We had meetings this morning at Winsport. Now we're at the airport flying out and gonna get through some stuff again here tonight, and then be ready to present to the group tomorrow, and it's game day, so not a lot of time to for the turnaround, but it's good. We're excited to get it going.
New juice. I mean, you go from the way the season ended, and I know that was a disappointing end to the regular season in the NHL, but to give you some new juice to be right back at it and right into the playoffs like this?
Yeah, you know what? I guess what I would say is I was maybe a little, not upset or maybe a little disappointed. Maybe it would be the right word with the Flames, but only because I thought, you know, we did kind of, we succeeded in the goals we needed to succeed in to get ourselves what we thought was going to be in the playoffs, right? And it came up short. You finished tied at 96 points. You're,
it goes to regulation win. So it's just, it's one of those situations. So it leaves a bit of a taste in your mouth, but had that for say Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday it's wake up and you're back with the Wranglers and we have a chance to go into playoffs and awesome, exciting. You know what I mean? Can't wait. And one thing, you don't have to wait too long. As we just said, it's yeah. a quick turnaround. So.
Is it feel like you're just kind of walking into a familiar situation? You know a bunch of the guys, you know that coaching staff, like pretty easy just to walk right back in and be back with the group?
I think so. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I mean, but for me, it was I went and saw the coaches after the game yesterday and just talked with them and, you know, felt a little bit, just wanted to make sure everybody was good. And then, but back this morning, you know what I mean? I had my head coaching hat on and there's no time to be screwing around, right? We've got, we got to make sure we're up and running and ready to go. And like I said, this is my job. This is my job before. I'm excited to do my job.
How much did you keep tabs on what was happening? I mean, it was a very similar situation to last year, Trent, where, you know, a lot of guys leaving the American League team and turning to a situation where Joe Cirella, as the acting head coach, was having to cycle in player here, player there. How much were you keeping tabs on the group and the job Joe and the coaching staff were doing?
Well, it was easy to do, first of all, like with the coaches and stuff. A lot of times we were at Winsport over the last couple months. So popping in, seeing the guys, we're both at Winsport, both teams. So it was always good to, you know, walk down the hallway and how are things going on and what's going on. So there's good chit chats here and there. And the other thing is I would have my spies were coming to me. I felt like every 2 weeks, not spies, but the guys that were getting called up. Right. So there's always somebody coming up and through the door. So I had a chance to talk to everybody. How's it going? How you doing? What's going on? Whatever. And so, and you know what, it's not an easy road. I did that road last year. I was put a lot of weight on myself, I know, as a head coach to get our team into playoffs, because our team dramatically changed from starting in with injuries and call-ups and starting in December last year. And you know, we finished the last seed. So I know how that drill goes. And that's why I was very, I tried to be very appreciative of the job the guys were doing, because I know how tough it is to lose guys through injury or lose guys through call-ups and then kind of to maintain. So good on them. And like you said, you want a chance. You just want a chance, right? You want a chance to get in the playoffs. And the guys did that.
Well, Trent, last year, your group, as you mentioned, last season, it was a difficult regular season. There was a lot of moving parts, all that type of stuff, a ton of adversity. Then you get to the postseason, you get some players back, and you win a round, and you put together a really nice playoff run. What do you see some similarities this year in terms of the guys you're getting back and what this group might be able to do starting Tuesday in the playoffs?
Yeah, well, one thing is that you know, we know we're playing a team that's the NHL team is out. So they're getting some guys back, right? Unfortunately, our NHL team is out. So we're getting some guys back. So there'll be some comparisons with that for sure. And you know what? You know that we can do anything. I mean, we are able to win games. And the group showed this over the last 2-3 weeks. They had a pretty good record, win at Abbotsford and banged off 2 wins. You know, the other night it didn't go well from the one night, but also it bounced right back and throw up a shutout and a 4-0 win. So, you know what? I'm really happy with how the group has played over the last few weeks, and the guys, the coaches, the players have done a really good job. Get the shot in the arm of the guys coming back, I think, is awesome. And then for me, like I said, like, you're just excited to be here. What we can do in a short amount of time is we're going to have to be all on the same page real quick, because the best of three, as we went through last year, anything can happen. And you got to make sure you're ready to go, and there's no wasted minutes, that's for sure. So we will have to be prepared, and I'm excited for the challenge with the group.
We're chatting with Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. Trent, what can you take from those 3-4 months in the NHL and with the Flames? What do you take from that experience back to the Wranglers now?
Just, you know, I thought Coach Huskett did a great job. You know what, there might have been times where we may not have been on paper that the team that we were playing, but he, you know, kind of, you want to say, reinforced the thoughts in my head about, you know, if you can check and you can give yourself a chance and you can have good specialty teams, then anything is possible every night. And I think that is something that has always been, I used to call it the Wrangler way last year. You know, we got to get back to like one goal hockey games and grind through it. And you know what, I think that's reinforce those beliefs in me and coaching. And I know that this group, if we keep it tight and we check hard,
to give ourselves a chance, and that's what we're trying to do, and we want to do it quickly.
Absolutely. Let me ask you about a couple individuals. You had Hunter Brustevich and Sam Morton make their NHL debuts Thursday in that game against Los Angeles. Now back with you and the Wranglers. But what did you make of those two debuts? What did you see from, obviously, Sam Morton scores and ends up being the game winner? Brustevich seemed to hold his own, but you're the coach. What did you see from Sam and Hunter on Thursday night?
No, I was happy for them. You know, you're more... I'm not the head coach, so that it was more, you know, you're kind of feel like we've talked about this in the past, the proud pop and moment, seeing the guys come up, play the first NHL game, Morty gets a goal, Brute has a good solid game, you know what I mean? So I think it was an exciting night for all the, you know, the future and watching the Flames as we move along here. And I think it's really, it helps those guys feel, I think, just more a part of it, right? I mean, to get that, to reinforce that they're getting an opportunity to play in the NHL in their first game, makes them feel wanted, you know, and I think it gives them, you know, like you were talking before about juice or a shot in the arm, it gives them a shot in the arm to come down here and make sure, you know, they've done a really good job and they deserve it, and good for them, and keep it going through playoffs.
You had Adam Klapka in the American League last year. You had him in the NHL this year, and now you're going to have him for this playoff run in the American League. Trent, what, in terms of just growth and evolving, what have we seen over the last number of months from Adam Klapka? It looks like he's taken some massive strides.
Yeah, you know, I mean, for me, Clapper's reinforced to me this year that he's going to be a National Hockey Leaguer and he's going to play a long time, you know what I mean? And I can just see that his game, like you said, the evolution of it, the being more consistent, but even his skating, I feel like, is strong and fast. And it contributes to him being a good forechecker. And then he has, now he's building the confidence of knowing that he can hold the puck in the ozone and protect that puck. And he's such a big, strong guy. No matter what league he's in, it's really difficult to get that thing off of him. So I love where he's gone. And over the last 2 years, it's been awesome to watch him. And he's such a good kid. He wants good things for him, you know. But I think we're real lucky. If we can get Clapper back here and he can be up and running for us, it would be fantastic because like I said, I think Clapper is going to be playing the National Hockey League for quite some time, and I think it's going to be good for him. We can get a sniff of him down here for the last little bit of it, maybe.
And final guy I wanted to ask you about was Dryden Hunt. He was up with the Flames for the last little while of the regular season. Had a really nice game on Thursday as he got back into the lineup. But you know how much Dryden can help an American League team on the offensive side of things. How huge will it be to have a kind of a consummate pro like Dryden with your group in the playoffs now?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was just chirping him about how he's got to work harder. You know what I mean? So, but I just laugh. You know, Huntsie, you saw him, his skill set even in LA the other night. You know what I mean? He's making plays to Nazem Kadri. You know what I mean? Like on 2-on-1s and just, you know, I love what Huntsie can do. I love where it doesn't matter where he's playing or what he's doing, he's going to bring that same game, which not many guys can do, and he has that ability to do that. And for me, I know when I'm coaching down here before, I always felt like Huntsie was a game breaker. You know what I mean? He's certainly a bus driver here for us. And, you know, and getting him back, it's good that he got a game the other day. Kind of get some of the bugs out, not only Thursday in NHL, but also Sunday here with the Wranglers. And, and hopefully we can get him flying right off of that.
And last one for you, Trent. You talked about the challenge of the team you're playing in Coachella Valley, and they're getting some guys back. But it's also a weird schedule, like no time to rest. You play on Tuesday, and then you've got 3 days until you play again on Saturday, and then, if necessary, on Sunday. With just it's a unique schedule. What do you make of this best-of-three schedule against the Firebirds?
Well, we don't have to worry about too much time to be nervous, that's for sure, right? So, I mean, we're all at the airport today. We're going to get in there, you know, dinner time, try to get a good meal on the players and get to a pregame skate tomorrow and then to a game. And so I think the good thing, I guess, about it is hopefully we can get a big win in the first night and go from there. But even if it doesn't work that way, you got a little bit more time to kind of regroup and get yourself back up for game two. And it's going to be a tough series. We play these guys, I guess, even before my time here, the last 2 years. And, you know, it's a team I personally would like to beat. You know what I mean? I feel like we owe them from last year. And I know the guys have played them hard all year. I know they're a really good hockey team. We're going to have our hands full here. But I'm looking forward to the challenge. And it's almost nice that you got to get into it right away. Because especially for me, I mean, it's just been a while since I've been the head, so it's nice to get myself and get back into it and get my feet wet right away.
Yeah, it's awesome to see you back as the head coach with the Wranglers. Trent, fly safe. Thanks for doing this at the airport, man, and good luck against Coachella Valley. Thanks for doing this, hey?
No problem. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
That's Trent Cull, the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. They open up their best of three set against Coachella Valley in Palm Springs on Tuesday night. It is a 8 o'clock face-off here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, they don't play again until Saturday and Sunday. We'll have both those games for you if necessary on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, Sandra in Palm Springs. Sandra Priscina's got game one and two, maybe game three of the Wranglers and Firebirds here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, looking forward to another year in the Calder Cup playoffs for the Calgary Wranglers.
If you're the voice of the Wranglers, like Sandra is, mm-hmm. you could do worse than a Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday series schedule in Palm Springs, no?
I think that's a very well-deserved perk.
Absolutely.
One of the best in the business. Sandra
Absolutely.
Priscina. That is a very well-deserved perk, and she better enjoy herself. Plus, she'll have at least two, if not three, outstanding calls in what is going to be a hopping building. Third straight year these two teams will meet in the playoffs. Should be a lot of fun. Thanks to Trent Cull for joining us. Wranglers, Coachella Valley, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And Trent Cull joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar Guest Hotline. Serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344. For pickup or delivery.